going to put up with it any longer," shouted Arnold of Melchthal. Gessler leaned forward in his throne.
"Might I ask you to repeat that remark?" he said.
"We are not going to put up with it any longer."
Gessler sat back again with an ugly smile.
"Oh," he said. "Oh, indeed. You aren't you? Desire the Lord High Executioner to step this way," he added to a soldier who stood beside him.
The Lord High Executioner entered the presence. He was a kind-looking old gentleman with white hair, and he wore a beautiful black robe, tastefully decorated with death's heads.
"Your Excellency sent for me," he said.
"Just so," replied Gessler. "This gentleman here," he pointed to Arnold of Melchthal, "says he does not like taxes, and that he isn't going to put up with them any longer."
"Tut, tut,"
murmured the executioner.
"See what you can do for him."
"Certainly, Your Excellency. Robert," he cried, "is the oil on the boil?"
"Just this minute boiled over,"
replied a voice from the other side of the door.
"Then bring it in, and mind you don't spill any."
Enter Robert, in a suit of armor and a black mask, carrying a large cauldron from which the steam rose in great clouds.
"Now, sir, if you please,"
said the executioner politely to Arnold of Melchthal. Arnold looked at the cauldron.
"Why, it's hot," he said.
"Warmish,"
admitted the executioner.
"It's against the law to threaten a man with hot oil."
"You may bring an action against me," said the executioner.
"Now, sir, if you please, we are wasting time. The forefinger of your left hand, if I may trouble you."
"Thank you. I am obliged."
He took Arnold's left hand and dipped the tip of the first finger into the oil.
"How?" cried Arnold, jumping.
"Don't let him see he's hurting you," whispered Werner Stauffacher. "Pretend you don't notice it."
Gessler leaned forward again.
"Have your views on taxes changed at all?" he asked. "Do you see my point of view more clearly now?"
Arnold admitted that he thought that, after all, there might be something to be said for it.
"That's right," said the governor. "And the tax on sheep? You don't object to that?"
"No."
"And the tax on cows?"
"I like it."
"And those on bread and buns and lemonade?"
"I enjoy them."
"Excellent. In fact, you're quite contented."
"Quite."
"And you think the rest of the people are?"
"Oh, quite, quite."
"And do you think the same?" he asked of Walter and Werner.
"Oh, yes, Your Excellency," they cried.
"Then that's all right," said Gessler. "I was sure you would be sensible about it. Now, if you will kindly place in the tambourine which the gentleman on my left is presenting to you a mere trifle to compensate us for our trouble in giving you an audience, and if you," to Arnold of Melchthal, "will contribute an additional trifle for use of the imperial boiling oil, I think we shall all be satisfied. You've done it. That's right. Goodbye. And mind the step as you go out." And, as he finished this speech, the three spokesmen of the people of Switzerland were shown out of the Hall of Audience. End of chapter 1. William Tell Told Again by P.G. Wodehouse. Chapter 2. They were met in the street outside by a large body of their fellow citizens who had accompanied them to the palace and who had been spending the time since their departure in listening by turns at the keyhole of the front door. But as the Hall of Audience was at the other side of the palace,